If you have your Bibles, Romans, the 15th chapter, we're going to spend a little bit of time there. We've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and last time I had the opportunity, we talked about love. So let's look at Galatians 5, 22 through 26 again to see the second fruit that we're going to talk about. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or also known as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So the second word we see here, joy, in the Greek is chara. It is a word here that is used to denote joy, but it actually kind of looks at two different types of joy. It can either mean a cheerfulness or a calm delight. And it's important that we actually note that there's these two views that joy can be used. Because you have an inner and an outer. So cheerfulness is a joy that is usually revealed outwardly. You can tell if somebody has a cheerful demeanor or a cheerful attitude. It can be seen literally in how the person walks or their steps. You can see it, in a sense, written on their faces and just their overall attitude and their actions. And this comes about because there's also an inner joy, an inner cheerfulness, an inner calm, a calm delight. And what this has done is it's caused the mind to be filled with great gladness. So we kind of see how this joy works in a couple passages of Scripture. And I want to look at two specifically before we get to Romans 15. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 14, we have here the announcement of John's birth to Zechariah. And in this passage of Scripture, in Luke 1, 14, he mentions two things when it comes to joy. He says, you will have joy and gladness, and others will have joy too. See, that's the thing about joy that we see is that there's an inward joy that reflects outwardly, and that outward joy then becomes infectious and others share in that joy. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, we see an angel again visits, this time Mary, to announce the birth of the Christ and how she will be able to partake in that. And he says what? He says, fear not, you will have joy. And others will have joy as well, in Luke 2:10. So we again see an inner joy that will be reflected in an outer joy, and that others will share in that joy. See, joy is a state of existence and a state of being that we all have desire of. We desire that we inwardly have joy, so our mind is at calm and at ease. And outwardly, we like to partake of joy because others like to partake of it as well, and when we all have joy, we all have that demeanor of joy, that light of step and that happiness of smile that we all share in together, we all just simply, well, we feel better. And isn't that why we're here today? It's because of joy that we're able to share with in our mind and outwardly with others. See, Paul kind of put it this way in Romans, the 15th chapter, starting in verse 8, when he's talking about joy. He says this, he says, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed and moreover that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So notice here that Christ comes to fulfill the promise to cause an ease of mind, a delight in the mind for the Jews that they can therefore realize that promises have been confirmed and fulfilled. Therefore, outwardly, they can share in that joy. But it's a joy that isn't just for the Jews alone. That the Gentiles can glorify God for his mercy, and that joy can be shared by all. It continues and says, as it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises of your name. See, that's what joy does. A happiness of mind, a happiness that's outwardly shown, can be shown in song and in praise. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. Joy shared with the Jews and the Gentiles alike together in the praise of God. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and him the Gentiles will hope. And finally, in 13, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So why are we here? Because we get to share in the joy that was promised to the Jews thousands of years ago. That promise fulfilled in Christ Jesus, that they can have joy, they can have that inner calm and that outward delight, but not just for them, but for all peoples to extol, that we can now share in the joy of Christ, that inwardly we have calm and outwardly we can rejoice. So when we partake of the body and the blood, symbolically through the cup or the bread and the cup, we are partaking in joy that was promised thousands of years ago. At the time of the garden, that one day there would be an opportunity for restitution for man and redemption, the completeness of joy. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your blessing. That Lord God, as we partake, that as we remember the sacrifice of Christ, we know that it was a harsh and hard sacrifice. But because of that, we have joy. Lord God, we can share in that calm delight. And outwardly, as we partake, we can smile knowing the satisfaction and the happiness that it brings us. Because we have redemption and restitution has been made. Propitiation has been settled. So Father God, never let us forget the joy we have in Christ. The hope that he gives us. And may we continue to extol as all the peoples extol and praise you, Father God, for what you've done. And it's through your Son's name we pray now. Amen.